Steve here.
And Larson.
Whew, I'm here as well. I am awake and I'm here.
Are you good, Dan? Are you good?
I'm good to go, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
All right. Welcome to Going In Raw. The only podcast that when you fire it up, you got to walk it off. You just got to walk it off a little bit.
Let it breathe.
Let it breathe.
Perfect timing I have there with my clumsiness.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about Hell in a Cell 2015. Our book of the match is SummerSlam 2009. And we got our first segment of, what are we going to call it? Making it Rains?
Making it, comma, Rains.
Making it, comma, Rains. Oh, goodness.
This is how we can make it to the top.
But first, we're going to talk about somebody who can unite us all. Alberto Del Rio.
Mexican Sheamus. Yay.
And Zeb Coulter in a scooter. It was fairly obvious that Cena just wanted to get the fuck out of there. Can we all agree on that?
Yes. Yeah.
And can we all agree that now Alberto Del Rio is quite possibly the strongest, most leveled up character in the WWE?
Based on his performance last night, yeah. All the other guys that Cena has wrestled since became U.S. champ. Maybe the exception of Rollins.
No, I will disagree, because I think that a surprise entrance counts as like a 2x multiplier of power.
Oh, okay. Because Cena didn't have time to prepare.
Yeah, because he hasn't been, like, because anybody else on the roster, he's been watching their matches, he's been studying, maybe he doesn't know who's coming out, so they get like a 1.2x multiplier. But a brand new, bang, guess who's back? Woof, that's two. That's true.
Yeah, but I feel like Alberto Del Rio was just here like 6 months ago.
Yeah, pretty much. It shouldn't have been that much of a squash match.
I would think it'd be like a 1.5 multiplier, because, like, okay, Kevin Owens comes in, brand new, fresh, Cena's never wrestled him before.
Yeah, no tape.
That, for sure, that's a 2x multiplier. He's gotten, exactly, he's no time to prepare, no tape, no nothing. And so Owens, you know, beats him. Del Rio, I feel like 6 months ago, he was in like a feud with Cena that had lasted like 3 years already.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a fair point.
But you're trying to make sense of wrestling, and I say it's a 2x multiplier.
I think maybe, if anything, it might have been Del Rio's new fancy... They have, like, scales on him. Like, his new tight, his trunks have scales on him.
Yeah.
And, like, an extra large, like, cod piece. His tight, he never can figure out tights very well. And he was, like, he's still, like, weird fit fat. He still has, like, fat on his fit body. And it's weird. He's just weird in general, I think.
You still like him, though. You're still a Del Rio fan. Steve.
Okay, I'm trying to think of who else I would have... I was hoping, most of all, I was hoping it was Finn Balor. I was really hoping it was Finn Balor. It wasn't him, and so...
He was in Sacramento with us.
He was in... Yeah, that's right. He was here in Sacramento. But then it ended up being... And I was like, oh, you know what? I like Alberto Del Rio, I guess. I kind of like him. But then I just keep on remembering that he slapped around like one of the production interns or something. But then that production intern was like... racist or something. I don't know what exactly the story was.
Mm-hmm.
But I would that's
like that, yeah.
That's gonna be awkward.
I heard that Alberto was racist. I thought it was like Jeremy Clarkson coming back was the sort of level that this was at. I was like, that's surprising.
But actually, if Jeremy
Clarkson winning the US championship would have been fantastic.
That would have been
excited about
that. His gimmick is he has to like race really fast cars or something. I don't know what he does.
He crashes a car. Every time he comes out, he just drives a really fast car into the ring, goes through the windshield, and
exactly,
then just lands in the ring. He's like, it'd be
no different than that time Brock Lesnar destroyed a car and almost killed a kid. So, evidently the WWE's fine with that. I don't know. Okay, this is my thing. So last night after watching the pay-per-view, I watched... Dan, you didn't catch Breaking Ground, did you?
I did, after that half an hour thing that was on after it.
Okay, yeah. Well, I thought it was really good. After what, like, you know, you got a glimpse of Baron Corbin, and he just seems like kind of a dick. Like, for reals, he seems like a dick. Not just like a heel, he seems like a dick. Yeah. And I was like, after seeing that, I was like, oh, you know what? That kind of a little bit legitimizes Baron Corbin for me, who I've always been sort of torn on him. I'm like, you know, I kind of like, he's got a cool look. He's kind of got a flab belly, which kind of annoys me. and he's not terribly great in the ring, but he's got kind of a look and he's got kind of a natural charisma. I think he's pretty cool. I thought it'd have been way cooler if, and like you mentioned, Dan, a 2x multiplier, if Baron Corbin would have come out, got the U.S. title, and I think you could have elevated it further by having him destroy people week after week with his own type of weird open challenge.
No. Yes.
I think that would have worked. Alberto Del Rio's been around forever. Like, now he was a scrub for the longest time. Like, say what you will, he was never, like, he was a champion, but everybody knew he wasn't a legit champion. Everybody knew when he had the belt, CM Punk was going to take it right back. And he had the World Heavyweight Championship back when it wasn't, like, combined with the other, with the WWE Championship. And everybody knew that was kind of the booty belt. That was the scrub belt.
I'm not saying Del Rio was an exciting choice. I'm just saying, you know, if you'd put it on Corbin, yeah, it might have been cool for, what, a month? And then people would see, quite obviously, that he doesn't know what he's doing inside the ring. and then he was like, okay, this guy sucks. Next.
It's not like Alberto Del Rio is a ringmaster.
No, but he's competent.
I literally just, I can't watch the TV when he's in the ring. Like, I'm just, God, he's boring. And yet, I say I like him. I don't know. I'm torn on him. It's weird. It's really weird.
It's sort of like your relationship with Sheamus a few years back.
He's Mexican, yeah, Sheamus. But, I said this.
Yeah, he is Mexican Sheamus. Yeah. But I don't know. I think Baron Corbin would have been much better. I think, because I think week after week, if you would have built him, if you would have had him to be sort of like the kind of guy he is in NXT, where he kind of just destroys people, and it's like, you know, they're just counting the seconds to see how long it takes. And he could be destroying scrubs, but at least he's destroying people, and that's like something interesting for the belt.
He would have had to have a real match with somebody, and all his weaknesses wouldn't have been exposed. He's not ready for that yet.
I think he's more than ready. I think they're just waiting to plug him in.
Watch his match with, he had a 15-minute match on NXT TV. I forgot who was against, and it was not very good.
He doesn't need to be good, though. Half the roster isn't very good in the ring.
He needs to be good if he's A, on main, and B, having 15-minute matches.
If you want
2 minutes.
Look at Ryback. He's made a career of that.
Yeah,
he's had multiple titles.
I think you'll find Ryback had the shortest match of the night.
Yes.
And this was actually the second shortest match of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think
walked out halfway through it. Oh, shit, the match is still on. Yeah, oh, no, I lose. Bye. Goodbye, everybody.
Vacation starts now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He punched his clock card on the way out as well. I was like, mm-hmm. Fuck that.
So I don't know. I'm not excited. I'm okay with Del Rio. I like Del Rio.
I'm sure he'll be a transition champion. They'll have I don't know.
Ziggler. Remember that pop? That's one of my favorite ever pops, was Ziggler cashing in on Del Rio.
Yeah, that was great.
That's what we want to happen.
What other highlights? Let's talk about other highlights, because I think that scene at Del Rio was a low light for me.
Before we carry on, do we want the United States Championship to stay as sort of the open challenge thing?
Oh, I love the open challenge.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you never know what's going to happen. Like, I mean, that's the thing about wrestling, is like, it's best when you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
When you can predict it out a mile ahead, then it's boring. But when you don't know what's going to happen, and so by nature of the open challenge, yeah, anybody can come in. That's a great way to debut. I was disappointed with the way they debuted, kind of, I guess, Tyler Breeze. I don't like Tyler Breeze anyways. But just to, like, sort of, he just sort of comes out. I don't know. I like when there's sort of surprises and stuff. I like when it's like, holy shit, he's coming out.
Kevin, I mean, I don't know. Beating Cena, that was quite the debut.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was a huge debut. That was like a Jericho type debut. That was amazing. So yeah, I don't know. Tyler Breeze didn't even make it on the pay per view. See, that's sad. Tyler Breeze didn't even make it on the pay-per-view.
I didn't even know he fucking debuted. I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
It happened on SmackDown.
It happened on SmackDown. Yeah.
Jeez, that's not a debut. That doesn't count.
They already know he's a scrub. I don't like Tyler Breeze.
You will in 3 months.
I know, I'm going to have to, Dan, because, Dan, we have this thing where...
when we're doing OG's Tyler Breeze, then...
Yeah, exactly. We have this prediction. So at this 2K thing that we went to for 2K16, you know, the new day was there. I'm predicting that Tyler Breeze is going to be the next one, and I'll have to, like... Also, like, a couple months from now, I'll have to start, like, liking him.
Well, also...
Because otherwise it'll be awkward.
You've also established a pattern where someone will debut, you'll immediately dislike him, and then you'll eventually warm to him, like Rusev.
Oh, yeah, but Rusev's different. He's a fat body. I never like fat bodies.
Okay. I'm not saying that this pattern is just subject to one particular criteria. I'm just saying, generally speaking, someone will come out and you'll hate him immediately, and then eventually, like, okay, this guy's not bad.
I think I liked when Owens came out. I don't think that's true. I think you're just making things up right now.
I'm not saying every time someone debuts, you hate on him. I'm just saying when someone debuts and then you hate on him, eventually you come around to him.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I don't think I'm ever going to come around on Tyler Breeze until, like, I don't know, 8 months from now when I have to start liking him because we know that he's going to be at the 2K theme.
Okay.
I'm probably wrong about that. So what else happened?
I thought the Reigns-Wyatt match was surprisingly entertaining.
Yeah.
My hopes were not high for it. It had some good spots. They told a decent story.
I like the bit with the Singapore canes when Wyatt got clever with those and put him against the ring.
I like the dual wielding them.
Yeah.
Just having two of them, like, wah, 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 wah. That was fun.
Yeah. No, I liked it. It was cool. It was. I don't know. Like, we'll talk about in our segment, making it, comma, Reigns.
Yeah.
I think there's some things that we can do with his packaging that I think will make me interested in seeing a Roman Reigns match. But this is really difficult. And on top of that, like, I'm still, man, like, okay, so Wyatt came out at the end and carried The Undertaker off. I need something tangible with Wyatt. It's the same old thing, man. I need something tangible with him. It can't just be...
He always loses. He's not the new face of fear. He's like just an annoying thing that's like, I'm awesome. You swat him away. He's a gnat. He's like gnat.
This is the thing, though. Like, he always laughs through the matches. And I think that they've properly established that Bray Wyatt doesn't care if he wins or loses. And that's why I think... I think that he could be built to the point that it doesn't matter if you win or lose with Bray Wyatt. It's the journey that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's clever. I just think that there needs to be something bigger. There needs to be stakes. And I think that's what's missing with him is just stakes. He can win or lose and that's fine. But if you're fucked up afterwards, that's kind of what matters.
Or like, you know, this thing he's about to get into with The Undertaker, obviously. It's like, I'm just throwing this out here. I'm not saying I like this idea or not. Say, like, Wyatt says, all right, Undertaker, if we beat you Survivor Series, you lose the title of Undertaker, I'm the new Undertaker. Just something like that.
Yeah.
I want that to happen.
Then there's stakes.
That's my booking. We all know that's my booking.
It is.
That's, you even tweeted that at me during the thing. It's like, have you booked this? Yes. Yes, I did.
No,
I like the idea of the Undertaker and the Wyatts working together.
Yeah.
I think that works. Lovely. I'd like to, especially with Survivor Series coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a good, that's team one, tick. Now we just need, you know, team two on the other side.
Okay, so can we determine who's going to be on the Undertaker's team? I think obviously it's going to be Ambrose and Reigns.
And Kane.
And Kane, I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
How many people have to be on the team?
If we can stick Seth in there as well.
It's typically 5-on-5 traditionally.
Oh, Seth. Oh, that'd be interesting. The Shield plus Undertaker and Kane.
Against the Wyatts and Baron Corbin. Done.
I love it. See, that's great. But I wanted to be Baron Corbin with the U.S. title. Maybe tonight on Raw, Baron Corbin will come in and take it off Alberto Del Rio. He'll be a true transition champion. I can always wish. Surprisingly, I think the New Day stunted the Dudley Boys' quest for their 10th tag team title. I thought this was a really entertaining match, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, it really was.
I love the spot. I love the spot where Kofi threw Bubba Ray the trombone and then just fell to the mat. And the ref, in the first time in history, the ref didn't buy it. He was so close to buying it, and then the system glitched, and he decided not to.
And neither did the timekeeper. Yeah.
And neither did the timekeeper, yeah. He was kept in check this time. He got a big scolding from Vince backstage. It's not your job to ring the bell. I mean, it is. You know what I mean. Xavier was missed, but I really, really liked that the Dudleys that the New Day went over again.
Yep. Yep.
And they're doing what we were hoping they would do. They're just getting the New Day over and over and over.
Yeah, they're actually recognizing that people are getting over organically and going with it.
Because was it just me? The crowd was chanting New Day rocks, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They totally were.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And the New Day, this is exactly as we predicted. The New Day are trying to be heels, but they are being turned by the crowd. And that's the best kind of face turn.
Yep.
Yes. Absolutely.
So that was a lot of fun. Do we think, can we speculate, do we think the Dudley Boys are ever going to get their 10th tag team reign?
I think they will eventually, whether it's off, they beat the New Day to get it is another thing entirely.
I wonder if it's, I wonder if they're going to be around long enough to get it. I mean, the New Day are hot shit right now. Mm-hmm. It'd be surprising if they, now at this point, it would be kind of surprising if they took the belts on. Although it might happen tonight at Raw, you never know. Yeah. But
anything
for the,
can happen at the WWE.
Yeah, exactly. I know, it's going to be shit tonight. So yeah, I don't know. I think that they're dangling the 10-time tag team championship as sort of bait for the audience to think that it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I could see it not happening.
It could be.
Totally see it not happening.
It couldn't happen last night because Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt broke all the tables. Like, they were all gone by the end of their match. They took out three during that match.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty brutal match. Talking about brutal matches, let me talk about the main event. Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. I personally, taking the first one into account in the fact that The Undertaker was concussed about 5 minutes into it, and so the rest of the match was kind of a dud, and taking away the shock factor of Lesnar winning that match, because obviously that was what made it so huge. And then the second one had that wonky finish. I thought this was actually the match. This was the superior match of all three of them, even though it was just on some podunk Hell in the Cell pay-per-view. I thought this was worthy of a WrestleMania match. I really did.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, and I don't know if these guys go into it thinking or discussing, hey, you know, because I know Vince doesn't like, apparently, allegedly, Vince doesn't like blood, but it makes me wonder if these two freaking bastards are probably back there, hey, let's fuck each other up, let's get some blood going.
Yeah, apparently I read this morning that Vince was really unhappy about blood being on Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, he was not best pleased from what I heard as well.
Wow. I just think that Lesnar and Undertaker are probably like, we don't really care. You know, it's like, we're the money. We are the money men in this company. And we're going to go out there and do what we want. Brock's going to go and literally tear up the ring, which I thought was, you can joke about it and be like, yeah, what is it? He's removing an inch of foam
padding.
Of
yeah.
padding. But at the same time, it made for a really cool visual. It was different. It was interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know if we'd ever seen that, but if we have, it's been a hell of a long time since we've seen someone tear up a ring like that.
He kind of looked like my child, though. He kind of looked like Alabama. Like, we have like this little spot in the couch that's ripped open, and it's a little tiny one, but she'll just go over there and start like putting her hands in it and like trying to take it out. And that's what Brock looked like. He sort of looked down and he started fingering the floor there. And then he was like, oh, here we go. And he's like ripping it up. And the ref is just like, what is that legal? Like, he needs to check the playbook to see if you're allowed to rip the ring open or something. If there is a wrestling playbook, there is.
I don't think there is.
No DQ. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. No, well, it's no DQ. We can't say you're disqualified. Maybe they can just bill him afterwards.
Did you see the wound on Lesnar's head? The picture.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
It was massive.
It looks like his whole head like flaps open from that point.
Have you guys checked out the Lesnar Stone Cold podcast?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Yes, I watched that. It was basically two giant men talking about guns and hunting.
It was the most American podcast.
It was so American. It was. I was there. I just felt like, I don't even know what's going on anymore. Is this a thing? Okay. It was beer. It was hunting. It was guns, and it was country music.
The biggest thing that made it American was Brock Lesnar saying, "I just like to stare at my land. I don't like people. I like to stare at my land." I'm like, I have nothing in common with this guy whatsoever. Like, zero. Like, I kind of already knew that, but I'm like, man, I would have nothing to talk about with Brock Lesnar if I ever sat down with him. Oh, man.
God, the line he had of gotta feed the Jew.
God, I know.
That's
gone
from the rewatch, from the repeated one.
We're on a 7-second delay, but they're not going to bleep that out.
Yep.
Let's see here. Charlotte Nikki Bella had a decent match.
Yeah.
That was all right, right?
It was okay. You know what this whole pay-per-view showed to me? When you don't fuck around, you get better matches. Like, when the matches actually have a nice, decent end and there's no people around the side of the ring to just faff with it all, I kind of come away going, that was all right, but I enjoyed myself a lot more for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like screw finishes can't screw over. And that was just a nice match. That was probably the best match I've ever had Nikki Bella has ever had that I've watched.
Yeah, I agree with that. You're right. It was just solid. There was some storytelling going on. That's what I like. They're letting them tell some stories now. And I kind of like that.
That's definitely an improvement over previous Divas matches where they just kind of said, okay, 5 minutes, go do something and then wrap it up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to Charlotte versus Sasha Banks, and we'll get to Charlotte versus Becky Lynch. We'll get to those. We'll get to some matches down the line, but you know, Nikki Bella's still a money draw, so she has to be in there somewhere. But she's learning. Kevin Owens versus Ryback. Did I even watch this Kevin Owens versus Ryback?
I feel like I did. It's long.
Yeah, it was 5 minutes long, and Kevin Owens, he won clean, didn't he?
Oh yeah.
What did Ryback do? What did he do to deserve that?
He didn't sell enough shirts.
I guess so. Like,
from what he said on that table for three thing. Have you seen that with?
Right, I didn't. It felt so awkward. Like 5 minutes in, I had to change.
It's like listening in on like a bizarre three-way date. I fucking love that show so much.
I like the other ones. I love, like, I watched the New Day one. I love that one. I watched the WCW one was fantastic because it was just Sting and Vader talking about how brutal they were to each other back in the day. And then there was the best one. Did you watch the Ambrose Cesaro Owens one?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh man, it's like freaking rolling around in slop. It's amazing. It is fantastic. It's three guys who just completely understand everything and know exactly how things should go in wrestling, and watching them talk. But I got like 5 minutes into that one. What did Ryback say on it?
I don't remember.
Okay, I thought you meant he said something specific.
I remember they were sort of like a bit ganging up on him, and he was basically saying that Ziggler was a bully. I think that's the way around it was going. He was saying it in sort of a joking way, but he's 50,000 feet tall, and so joking doesn't really come across with Ryback, and it sort of got very awkward by the end of it.
Hmm. Yeah, I feel like none of them were really driving the conversation. Like in the Cesaro one, I feel like Cesaro was kind of driving the conversation. Like he was the one who's sort of aware that, you know, we should talk about stuff. And then in Ambrose, you just get like these really, really awesome little anecdotes from. And then Owens talks more about sort of his experience being kind of new to Maine and how it relates to his family and his kids. It was really, really interesting stuff. But yeah, that one, I got like 5 minutes into it. I was like, I don't think any of these people like, I think Daniel Bryan probably likes everybody, but I just think that they don't, Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler are both guys that like everybody marks out for because they're amazing wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And we all know that Ryback's not. Mm-mm. And that seemed to be kind of this really weird silent elephant in the room, you know? I mean,
if they had put some other technical wrestler in there with Dolph and Daniel Bryan, it could have been
Zack Ryder, who got over. I mean, all those guys, I'll put it this way. Those two guys, Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler, they made the WWE push them. They made, and so that would have been perfect. Ryback didn't. Mm-hmm. And if you had like Zack Ryder in there, who's, you know, slumming on NXT right now. But at one point he made the WWE get him over.
Yeah.
Or push him rather.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have made a bit more sense. Somebody like him or anybody else really. But Ryback, I don't know. He just didn't fit. That was the one episode of that show that I was like, I don't really know about that. But
you know how we've talked before, Steve, about how Ryback is kind of like a wrestler created by a 5-year-old.
Yeah, right.
His T-shirt looks like a packaging for a toy. <Doesn't
it? laughs> There you go. There you go. That's exactly that's what he is. I don't remember much from Seth Rollins and Kane.
It wasn't terribly exciting. The end was okay, but
I feel like Rollins was just doing all of his moves. I mean, he was just doing his move set. Like, he was like, okay, I'm going to do this one. I'm going to do this one. I'm going to do this one.
I mean, they're stylistically, that's not a good pairing.
No, it's not. I felt for Kane when he fell on that table and it didn't break for a second. Yeah. I honestly thought, because that, you notice that ref like ran down there.
Yeah.
He just like, he was there immediately like, oh, did you fuck yourself up? Because it looked like you fucked yourself up.
Yeah.
And then when the ref got to the eight count, he was right back in the ring, so he was fine, which is good. I think, like, I don't know what Isaac Yankum eats, but, or Isaac Yankum, Glenn Jacob. I called him Isaac Yankum. I don't know what Glenn Jacobs fucking eats, but, man, Kane, like, really, he lasts. Like, he hasn't changed at all since, like, the fucking mid-90s. It's crazy.
Not really. He's not as quite as toned as he used to be, but it's not by much, you know?
I mean, he walks around with his shirt off a lot, and he looks good.
He looks real good.
Yeah.
And he's, what, 2 years younger than The Undertaker?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And he looks the exact same as he did in 1998.
Pretty much.
Crazy. Or even 95, I think, when he was Isaac Yankum.
He debuted in 1992. He's nearly been wrestling for as long as I've been alive, and I look fucking older than he does.
Yeah, exactly. God, I was in fucking middle school when he debuted.
Jeez. Yeah, me too.
Oh, willikers. Good for Kane.
I'm in preschool yet. Hell yeah, young one of
them. You know,
it was kind of surprising that Rollins won clean, though.
You know what? At some point, he had to, man.
No, I know.
Fucking has to.
He needed a legit win over...
he did. He really did. Yeah. Like, what are you going to... Like, man. Like, I'm sorry. When Alberto Del Rio comes in and cleans up Cena in...
Seven and a half minutes.
Cleanly. Cleanly. Yeah. Off of a kick to the head.
He didn't use his finishing move.
And he beat him cleanly.
The arm bar.
And meanwhile, how much does it take to fucking get Rollins over on Cena? Like, Rollins cannot get over on Cena, but bring in Alberto Del Rio.
That's a good point. By that logic, Del Rio, as you said earlier, is the top-ranked wrestler in WWE.
Del Rio should have beat The Undertaker last night, by that logic.
Yeah,
he really should have.
He should have beat the entire roster.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. Anyway, he should have been on the cover of 2K16. let's see here. So, yeah, and, you know, I'll say this. I oddly enough, I was just sitting there at my desk, like just drawing or whatever, and I had football on, or American football. Sorry, Dan. And I turned on.
Guys, I don't watch either.
I turned on the pre-show, and yeah, like what four? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Four of the guys in that pre-show in that 6-man tag match were all quality guys, and then you have Sheamus and Barrett.
Wait, let's say King Barrett.
Sorry, King Barrett.
That's what they just kept all the fucking Brits in that, didn't they? Neville and King Barrett are both in there.
Yeah, oh, Neville, yeah, King, yeah, yeah. It was a decent match. It was actually a really fun match. Like, so they got the crowd going. That's kind of what a pre-show match. Like, I don't want Ziggler, Cesaro, Neville, and Rusev always to be in the pre-show because they're much, much more quality guys than that. But hey, it kind of goes to the strength of the roster. Like, you have all those guys, and then like, there's no other match on there. I mean, maybe, you know, you kick Ryback out, you kick Sheamus out, you kick Barrett out, and you've got, like, a really, really quality lineup there. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a good roster right now. I'm very happy with that. And that sort of contrasts with our book in the match, SummerSlam 2009. Because I think we're done talking about Hell in a Cell.
I have one final question about Hell in a Cell.
Yes.
Do you reckon Lesnar stopped bleeding yet?
Probably not. That happened so early, and it really looked like somebody literally shot him on the top of the head.
Yeah, because I didn't, like when Undertaker started bleeding, you could see him, you know, cut himself.
Yeah.
It was like he was stabbing his head with his blade when he's down on the ground.
Oh, I didn't even notice that, really.
Oh, yeah,
he bladed.
Right before he, oh, yeah, yeah.
Man. That's hilarious.
As well, yeah.
Yeah, because he started bleeding after he hit the ring post, but it didn't see whenever he cut himself, it didn't seem as obvious as the Undertaker.
Yeah,
you think Lesnar did that to himself? That was a huge gash. You think he
did? It didn't look, well when he hit the ring post. He didn't hit with the top of his head, and it looked like his hand was in the way.
Yeah, no, his hand stopped the top of his head being hit. I think the blade must have been his glove because he then took his glove off after that.
Yeah,
and
why
would you take your glove off? You can punch harder with the glove on. So I assume
man,
he had something in there.
That's insane.
But same thing with Undertaker. He was like I forget exactly what move.
But the Undertaker's looked like a normal blade. I mean, that looked.
But I mean, like the
Lesnar
was
crazy.
Oh, I know. He looked like he tried to give himself a lobotomy practically.
It does though. He just saw one flew over the cuckoo's nest. He's like, I don't like this movie because there's not enough land in it. SummerSlam 2009. I've odd feelings about this. What a weird show. I'm kind of glad we chose it because it is weird. It's like recent but not recent.
Yeah. I think if one person kind of epitomizes this pay per view, it's Dolph Ziggler because he looks the same more or less, but his entrance theme lyrically is the same apart from the chorus, but it's a completely different pace, much like his style was back then.
Yeah.
And it was just a weird juxtaposition to see, okay, this is a guy I know whose work I'm really familiar with, and yet he seems like a completely different wrestler.
It is like a, I mean, God, if you look at this roster, It's like today, but just an alternate universe. I mean, this is 6 years ago.
Yeah, and even back then, Chris Jericho. I didn't remember Chris Jericho looking kind of
pudgy,
soft.
Yeah, no. He this is when he started to look soft. Like when he came back this time, because he had a pretty successful run as the World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And at that point, he was looking soft. I don't know if there was any transitionary time, because I think he left and came back to do this. Or to be World Heavyweight Champion or something like that. But, it was weird. It was back then, like, there wasn't, I don't know, there didn't seem to be a lot of focus on, like, big money matches. Because if you look at this, okay, Cena Orton, which we've seen a million times, and even
why
at this point.
Why does Orton look like he's 50 years younger somehow?
Yeah, no.
I don't understand. Like, he is, like, he just looks like a baby face, face of a baby.
Of a baby, I know. He's got. I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and you're right. His face is pudgy, but his body's kind of the same.
Yeah, that's
like his body's not that much different.
Yeah.
New from WWE, swap heads on the action figures for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
Head of a baby.
Dehydrate your action figure and swap his head. I don't know. It was. It's funny. I was talking to Larson before you came, Dan, and all the critics, all the wrestling critics out there, gave this pay per view like a million star. Like everybody loved this, and I was watching. I was like, man, maybe it just speaks to how good the roster is now.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so run down the Rey Mysterio. I've never been a big Rey Mysterio. I like Rey Mysterio back in WCW when he was fast.
Yeah.
MVP.
I haven't seen much Rey Mysterio. I played a lot of him as when I used to play the games, like back in the day when I played the games and didn't watch it. But it was weird to actually see Rey Mysterio as a person doing wrestling.
Yeah.
Which was odd. I'd ask what happened to him, but knowing this podcast, he's probably dead or something.
No, he's been talking about coming back. He accidentally killed the guy.
Oh, okay. Well, there it is. There's the death story. Why is there always...
Well, during last year's WrestleMania?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, a week before this past
he was yeah, he was in a Mexican, show in Mexico. He was in a match in a big show in Mexico, and it was just look, it was a move he's done a million times. It was a simple drop kick, but apparently it landed in a weird spot on this dude's like neck and head combination thing, and the guy he ended up dying.
He broke his neck and ended up dying. Yeah,
Jesus Christ,
pretty fucked up. Let's be funny now. MVP, he's got silly tights. Ha!
Hey, that's a fucking finisher and a half, though. Maybe they're just super kayfabe.
Jesus Christ!
What's his multiplier? That's it. I'm done.
That's a finisher and a half. Jesus Christ.
I'm so bad. There's all those comments where you're like, I really hope that isn't a hell. I'm definitely on my way there.
This is Dan's Go to Hell tour. Yeah. Starting tonight on Going in Raw and culminating with his channel reboot.
I'm finishing Brocktober in style.
Let's talk about MVP.
Who the fuck is MVP? Against Jack Swagger. Yes.
MVP. MVP was like the epitome of me not watching wrestling, because I don't even think I was watching back then. I sort of just stopped caring for a spell. Even the idea of DX coming back, and I was always a big DX fan because I think everybody was. But it was like, you know, they're just old. Like, it reminds me of me and Larson. It's like, we're just old. Should we be doing this now? Like, we're old. Should we be making dick jokes now? But it was DX. People loved him, so maybe we should keep on doing it. Shawn Michaels and Triple H, I just feel like, I'm like, you know what? Triple H is at a point in his career. He really just needed to be that guy with a sledgehammer who was, you know, like beating up on all the kids and getting people over. And instead, he was dicking around with Shawn Michaels. And I get that they were best friends and everything. But I don't know. I just feel like everything was in a weird transitionary period here during this pay-per-view where they weren't quite getting it. I don't know. I mean, the main event was cool. I was telling Larson also, I'm kind of like over watching big spots. And now every time I see Jeff Hardy do a big spot, like I know that this match was made so that he could take time off for injuries. And yet in this match, he was doing crazy shit.
Did you get the sense watching this too, when every time, like right before Jeff Hardy had to do one of his spots, it was kind of like a sigh and you, from him, you could tell in his mind he was saying, oh God, I got to do this again.
Yeah. maybe that's just us projecting because we know what his career was like. Like, he was doing this 10 years prior, and you can't do that for 10 years.
Nope.
Like, you can't jump off of fucking table or ladders from that high up.
Onto the table was just an incredibly, Jesus, no moment.
And he did that a similar thing at WrestleMania 2000.
Yeah.
9 years earlier.
He was doing the same thing, and it's like,
really terrified me with that fucking pendant he had, which is just a giant spike that he has around his neck. And he's jumping off shit. I'm like, dude, just take that fucking thing off, all right? And I'll be able to watch this match through my fingers.
And I'm also like, okay, so we all know, we all love and miss CM Punk. I hope that once he gets absolutely destroyed in the UFC, he'll come back. But I don't think it's going to happen. But is there a weird thing where, like, CM Punk with long hair isn't as interesting as CM Punk with short hair and a beard?
I think we're used to him with short hair and a beard, and that's just how we like our CM Punk.
I guess so. But, like,
he seemed like he was moving around a lot better then. He seemed a little more athletic, a little quicker.
Yeah. If everything he said in the podcast is true, then that's probably why.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Just can't run your body down like that. Apparently, if you're not John Cena or Kane, you can't really do those things to your body and expect for it to hold up.
Yep.
Let's see. Christian versus William Regal for the... What a weird match. Like, I'm even looking at this on Wikipedia. Christian defeated William Regal with Vladimir Kozlov and somebody named Ezekiel Jackson for the ECW Championship in 8 seconds. Like, if you just read from left to right on Wikipedia, that's weird.
That's, yeah. I skipped through that match. I didn't even know it was a match.
Yeah, you could,
Regal,
like,
coming out,
yeah.
And then it was Randy Orton facing John Cena. It's like, oh, Regal must be on the side. And then I had to go back later and go, oh, whoops.
Yeah, it was just, weird. Like, and especially because, like, Christian and Regal are, like, two pretty decent wrestlers. Like, you could have got a good match out of them.
Yeah.
But that was back when they were doing the ECW thing. Again, they just didn't, they lacked focus. Like, it was just one of those weird things where it was like, yeah, we'll have the EC, this makes sense. We'll have, put the ECW championship on Christian, have him fight William Regal and Vladimir. Like, just no. ECW, no. Just leave them alone. They were what they were. Leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Kane versus the Great Khali. Obviously,
God,
that was.
Fucking God. Fucking God.
The Great Khali. The Great Khali at one point was the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
Yep.
God. I don't know if that's the first match I've seen or I've just erased the others from my memory, but. God, like, there's just, like, you see Kane just do, like, punches and stuff to Great Khali, and he doesn't fucking move. He did, like, it's like he looked like playing, like, 2K15 on a bad ping. Like, shit's just not hitting.
Yeah.
That's just, he was a wrestler. Maybe that should have been his gimmick. He's got a low ping. That's a great gimmick for him.
The great low ping.
He hit him a few times and then fell down a whole bunch and then... Yeah. Let's just pretend it never happened.
And then Chris Jericho and the Big Show were teaming up as... This always cracks me up. When they form a tag team out of two guys who obviously, like, they just don't know what to do with. And they just mash up everything about them. Like, wasn't there...
Oh, the Jera show when they mash up their theme song.
They mash up like their theme song? This is weird. Well, break the walls! It's the
Big Show down! Yeah.
They should have just got that guy who sings the Big Show's theme song to sing Chris Jericho's theme song. Yeah. Break the wall down.
No, break. then it will go, you make me want to shout, throw my head. You know, and then it goes.
Yeah. And they fought some people called Crime Time.
Crime Time. JTG.
There's a guy named Shad Gaspard. That sounds like a euphemism for like a shart. Like when you try to fart, but you shit your pants. Shad Gaspard, what did you do? Oh, Shad Gaspard.
Okay.
And JTG. Yeah,
JTG. He was released on 12th of June 2014 from the WWE. I have never even heard of him.
Yeah, so I have no... JTG, again, sort of a period where I wasn't watching. I do, however, remember... I do remember thinking... Like, because I would sort of flip it on every once in a while. And I remember turning on and be like, Crime Time, two black guys. That's not right. You shouldn't do that. And then I would just change the channel. Because, I mean, it's just not, I don't know, something wrong about that. It's not surprising as a WWF. Something wrong about that. WWE, whatever. Can we talk about MVP now?
Yes, we can talk about the minimum viable product. I guess that's what his name stands for.
His tights. His tights are just weird. I can't stand those tights. And that's pretty much all I have to say about him.
You've got like the fucking fashion corner of this podcast down.
I do. Certain things fit. Certain things work. Certain things should be normal. And his tights are not normal. He has sleeves, but no leggings. It's weird. It's like a zipper down the... I don't know.
I've just opened up the top website just to see whatever... just to see all these matches, because I don't have my down notes this time. And for MVP versus Jack Swagger, the first line is, MVP's tights have taken a depressing downturn in quality.
See?
Oh my god, there's more of you.
I'm telling you, they're so weird. Hold on, I'm going to Google those tights. MVP tights. There's a whole subculture of... The first thing, when I put it MVP tights, I see... Oh no, that doesn't mean... WWE. Try that.
see.
Nothing really. Yeah, they're just bad. They're like shorts, but then like a long sleeve shirt. Nobody's ever worn shorts and a long sleeve shirt. It's just weird.
I do that.
And it's like his dick is too prevalent. I don't like it. I don't like any of it. He's kind of like he looks like he should be fat, but he's not. Like in my mind, I always think that he's fat, but he's really not. And that's not good when you have tights that make you think that make people think that you're fat, but you're really not. I don't know. I can't
even remember what he looked like.
Yeah. He really does. He looks like a creator character. He really does. He looks like a creator wrestler. Like a really bad one.
Like his face is hanging off and
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He looks like yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy. Oh, okay. I remember it now. Yes, he is definitely the minimum viable product.
And he had that weird, awkward promo with Jack Swagger, and Jack Swagger couldn't, like he couldn't talk normal. Like,
yeah, Swagger made that interview segment really awkward.
He really did. It was all bad, man. I don't know. I was like, I watched that, and I'm like, yeah, no wonder I wasn't watching back then, because it was crap.
There was some good bits. Oh, God, not the end of Randy Orton Cena. Randy Orton?
It was weird. No, you know what? I felt Dan actually, when I was watching that, I was like, and I, you know, I had Steve notes somewhere, but I lost them also. I thought to myself, this seems like a Dan booking because it was all about logic in the match. It's like, wait, no, you can't do that. Restart the match. No, you can't win that way. Restart the match. Yeah. I feel like if you were the GM of the WWE, that would be you. You'd be like, no, you can't do that. The ref wasn't looking. You got to go back and do it this way.
Yeah, I would do stuff like that, but I wouldn't. They'd know that that was going to be a thing because the crowd were like, "What the fuck is happening now?" We
don't. yeah.
People would come around. I'd put it in gradually. Because it seemed to me that Vince was trying to stop Orton from winning, and then Orton wins after fan attacks, and he's like, "Nah, fuck it, I'm out of rules now."
Yeah.
But yeah,
that was the that was the plant fan, right? Am I correct on that one?
It must be because
like when you get to like when it's obvious when they're out there, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised between the last time we talked and now, I don't think there's been any fan run-ins. There was
yeah, someone tried to stab Amber.
Every other day it was like another fan run-in and they've gotten good on their security.
Security. Yeah.
So good for them.
All right. What? Huh?
No, go ahead.
Huh?
Wait. Next book of the match. I have some ideas. You want to talk about it now or wait till...
Talk about it now.
It's November Survivor Series. We can do either first Survivor Series or...
Ooh,
Survivor
Montreal
Series,
Screwjob.
Or Survivor Series 1990, Debut of the Undertaker.
Oh.
Debut of the Undertaker.
Wait, you were going to say Survivor Series what? Or the...
The very first one, which is 87 or 1990.
Well, if we do any of them, let's do... I was going to say we either do the Montreal Screwjob... Or, because it'd be fun to get Dan's take on that. Or, The Undertaker's debut. It's up to you guys.
It's up to Larson. Yes.
Larson, decide.
I've seen Survivor Series 97, but I haven't seen Survivor Series 90. So, selfishly, I'm going to Survivor Series 90.
Okay, John. That's fine. I doubt that Survivor Series 97 was all that great anyways.
It's not really. It's not that good of a show.
Probably interesting for the end.
1990, almost older than me.
Dan keeps on rubbing in our face that he's like a trillion years younger than us.
Yeah. Well, last time, you've got kids and things, and I'm just sitting here playing with a fucking Tamagotchi, so, you know.
I know, and we're the ones who are on time this week. I literally had to change a shit diaper before I came, and I was like, oh man, I'm late, they're gonna be waiting for me, and then Dan's like, oh, hello, I'm coming in late.
Only a little. Yeah, I know. I did say I was coming up late. Oh, we didn't talk about Generation X's entrance, which was the coolest thing.
Came out of a tank, right?
No, not the tank. It was the soldiers coming in and just shooting the audience.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You
that
would
fantastic.
Not be able to do that. If you did that today, no. You would freak the fuck out.
Man, yeah. Dude. So my stepkid, he's 12 to 11 years old. For Halloween, he got like this costume that was like, it's sort of like a Call of Duty type costume. It's like a Call of Duty ripoff costume. What's that dude with the skull face, the mask? Whatever his fucking name. Yeah, skull face guy. But anyways, he took a picture of it. Like, I didn't even pay attention. He took a picture of it and put it on Instagram, and it came with the gun without an orange tip. Ooh. And then I think he took that to school for the Halloween dance. And I was like, oh my God, that's so bad. I didn't know they could sell those anymore.
Yeah, I didn't think they could.
I thought that they were like they had to be like neon colors and shit.
Yeah,
this looks legit. I was like, holy shit. God damn it.
In England, there's the thing, they have to entirely be orange if they're fake. You can't do like normal gun color things. They can't look like normal guns at all.
Yeah, I thought that was the way here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I think generally it is. I think if it's a toy gun, it has to be predominantly or like neon colored. Yeah. I think if it's like an airsoft or something, just the tip can
the
be.
The airsofts are, yeah, just the tip, yeah. That's crazy. Anyways, right.
What stops people buying actual guns and just coloring the end of it pink?
I
don't know.
You just inspired a whole generation of people.
Ruined an entire system. Yeah. I mean, someone in the government just went, oh, for fuck's sake.
what's another couple of mass shootings here in the United States? Nothing's gonna happen with that. I hate everybody. Okay, so let's talk. Yeah, so time to get Roman Reigns over, right? Making it rains? No, I thought it was like making it rains.
Oh yeah, that's right. It shouldn't be a question. Sorry.
Making it rains.
Like this is how he's ending his letter to his parents. Making it rains.
Yeah, he's gonna make
he's
it.
Very confident in his ability. I'm gonna go first.
To
so
his parents,
Roman's
no, he sounds like a love you kind of guy. Love you, mom. Kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, love you. Making it rains. So Roman's like, you know, last night he's fighting Bray Wyatt. He's been in a program with Bray Wyatt for a while now, and he's like, you know, man, Bray Wyatt comes out, everybody gets out their phones, everybody's really into Bray Wyatt. People love this guy, you know, like he's really, you know, he's really gotten over. Like I want to know why Bray Wyatt's getting over, and I'm really not. Maybe I can take my shit to the next level. So he looks at Bray Wyatt, and he's like, well, you know, what do I have? What does he have that I don't have? He's got a beard. I've got a beard. He's got long hair. I've got long hair. He's kind of fat. I'm not fat. I'm thin. Maybe I should get fat. People like jolly fat guys, right? Maybe that'll get me over. I'm going to change my name to Roman Gaines. That was terrible. I'm sorry. Who's next?
I'm annoyed because mine was Roman Gaines as well.
Oh, Dan, I'm sorry.
Oh no! I'll come up with something else. Never mind. Hang on.
I guess it means I have to go.
Yeah.
How about this? Hold on. Wait. Here, you can keep that, and then I'll be Roman Gaines. But then he gets really sad, and people laugh at him, and so he's Roman Shames.
Damn it! I was gonna do something. Like, oh,
damn it! I'm sorry. I took your next one too.
Stop talking. yeah.
Oh, time for me to go.
Larson, yes. Go.
Okay. Sorry. Roman, he's not getting over it all, so he's like, all right, I need to mix things up. I need to do something differently. What am I not good at? Talking. So, what else am I not good at, really? Selling injury. So he decides to improve one of those things and just not do the other.
Okay.
So his new character, he doesn't talk at all. He's like a mute.
Oh, God.
And then also, every time he gets hit, he pretends it's the worst injury there is. And his new name, since he's pretending to be, you know, something he's not, is Roman Fames.
I thought it was. Well, I'm going to shut up until Dan's done with his because I'm.
Okay,
you might take his.
I have a new one.
Yay!
I have two. So my first idea is just make him join the New Day and change nothing about him. He could be the New Day's new trombone. He's just there and he doesn't say anything. But they all like him for some reason. No, he stays exactly the same as he is, and he's Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns. So many things rhyme with Reigns. It's great.
I know, it's brilliant.
I know.
This is fantastic. We'll have a lot of fodder before we have to get to OGs and Tyler Breeze.
Yeah. Well, at least get 6 months out of
this. I know, we'll get a lot. We'll get until we have to deal with 2K bringing Tyler Breeze out. All right, so we got our book and our match. We've talked about everything. I think that's our show for the week.
I think so.
Sounds
for
good
the month.
Me.
And then Lars and I are back next week. Dan, one day we're gonna have to get a kayfabe corner in with you. The ultimate.
Yeah.
The ultimate wrestling challenge.
We could do a quick one right now, one that we've done previously. I have all my lists here on my laptop.
I've seen many of them, though, you see.
I watch you, darling.
We always assume that you just have no idea that we do it weekly.
I'll find a really old one and we'll just test your memory.
Here's
one from July.
We'll give Dan some time to prepare.
Luke McMasters.
Luke McMasters. All right. Well, that's our show for the month, for the week. We'll be back next week. Dan, you'll be back. What's the next pay-per-view?
Survivor Series.
That is November 22nd.
Oh, something like hell. That. I just asked what year. Jesus, I'm out.
Dan, go fix your little problem that you had before the beginning of the show, because you need to walk that off, buddy.
I'm going to.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Okay. See you later. Bye. And stuff.